Well, it's that time of the month, time for the community meetings, and we start with Supervisor Tim Humphrey from District 2. Tim, how are you?
I'm well, Raleigh. How are you today?
Cannot complain. What's going on?
Good. Well, you know, there's lots of things going on. If you notice, like in the creeks and stuff, we've started some of the restoration of the creeks work. We're doing some out in Copper Hills, the creek over by the hospital. We're doing some work out Kellner Canyon. And so, anyway, we've started on some of that grant funding restoration. Well, we haven't got we've got the okay to do them, and they're going to give us the funding on those 220-day projects. And so we're working on that. We're still working on, I had a call from Sylvia Allen day before yesterday, and she's taken over for David Marshall. They've appointed her in his position. And so she called me, and she was asking a lot of questions about, you know, funding and what we need for the flood and things of that nature. So I got in touch with our finance department, where we have all the information of all of the money we spent, where we spent it, what we're working on to get reimbursed for, those kind of things. So hopefully, from what I understand, there is no money in the budget pointed for our restoration. But that doesn't mean that there's, Sylvia Allen told me that doesn't mean that there's not pots of money somewhere that she can maybe reach in and get some funding. And so that's something we're still working on.
Okay, I got a question here. I'm not up to speed. I didn't realize David Marshall was no longer in that position. What's going on?
Well, I don't know the whole scoop, but I think he backed out to be a recorder up north in the county where he lives.
Okay, Navajo County.
Navajo County, yes.
All right.
I guess they needed a recorder or something, and, you know, for a while he was going to step down and run for corporation commission.
Okay.
And then I guess something else happened. You know, I don't know. I get
right.
Things kind of, you know, through the grapevine.
Sure.
Because that state level stuff, you just kind of, you know,
okay.
You get what you get.
Absolutely. So he'll be the recorder for Navajo County. And Sylvia Allen, is that a temporary or permanent appointment?
Well, she was appointed to fill his
term. Okay.
So whether she'll run or not, I didn't discuss that with her.
Okay.
I was happy to see that she stepped in with Gila County on her mind and helping us with the flooding.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's very good news.
I appreciate her very much. And let's see, Wendy Rogers, she came out to my meeting in Tonneau Basin last meeting I had, and I think last Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
And Lori Mills from Eli Crane's office was there, so that was a pretty good meeting, and I felt, you know, pretty Gila County pretty special to have, you know, a state senator and representation from Congress there to listen to the people. And, you know, I thought that was kind of a neat deal of Wendy Rogers, because she's running unopposed.
Yes.
And so she's still coming out to a rural county to talk to the people.
Yeah.
And why? Because they ask her to. That's what I invite. And, you know, everybody says, okay, politically, you know, why'd you bring her and things of that nature? Well, because the meeting prior to that, the people that came to my meeting after every, you know, at the end of every meeting, I ask them, is there anybody you'd like me to invite, you know, utility company or water company or whoever, whatever, you know, so you can find out something. And they asked me to ask her, and I did, and she came. And so I think one of their concerns was something taking out the McDonald's to do another turn lane to 260 or something.
Okay.
I'm not sure
Sure.
what all of that was. But But anyway, and she's the one that also carried the bill for me for Gila County for blight, which the governor hasn't signed yet, but we got our fingers crossed.
Yeah.
That she will. So we're hoping that will go okay.
Absolutely. And yeah, with the governor, it's always iffy, but hopefully she can't see any problem with this.
Yeah. And a week or so ago met with Freeport, Town of Miami, City of Globe, Mayor, and some of the staff, and I, and what Freeport is willing to do is work with us on like a flood mitigation plan for the future.
Great.
And if we will all agree, then they will help. Right off the top of my head, there was one lady that was had a lot of experience in working with some of this flood mitigation and getting grants and stuff and things of that nature, and she was there as well. And so I believe that if everybody agrees that they'll go forward with helping us with that. And
great.
So I got with our deputy county manager, Michael O'Driscoll, and he is setting up a agenda for so that I can bring that before the board.
Good.
Because like I told him, I says, you know, I can support this till the end of the earth, but if I don't get at least another board member to go with me, then as far as a board, we can't support, you know. And so that's good. And then I spoke with Mayor Algomeros the other day, and he's also putting it on the city so they can get it in front of the council. So
good.
Hopefully we'll move forward and all work together. And also Mayor Madrid out of Miami, you know, we spoke with him, and he's getting it on before his council. So, you know, and the good thing about that too, Rolly, is, you know, what I appreciate is the working relationship that the county and the mayor of Miami and the mayor of Globe have built. You know, we've been through a lot of things, from fighting for Tri-City, you know, and now working on flood mitigation together and stuff. It's nice to see the community kind of come together instead of battle.
Oh, absolutely. And this is such a win-win. I can't imagine that there won't be consensus.
I don't either, you know. But you know, if it involves money and things of that nature, you never know where things are going to go, you know.
Yeah.
But I think I'm hoping that the county board will support it.
Yeah.
Be willing to go forward with it, and so we'll find out here soon in an agenda meeting and see where that goes.
Excellent.
And but yeah, it's good to get those kind of things going. It's good to see, you know, Tiffany in doing a lot of the creek work and our grant funding stuff.
Yeah.
And so you know, that's doing really well. I wish we had more water coming in. It looks like San Carlos is, you know, way low, and Roosevelt's getting lower every day. So
I'm glad
hopefully we'll get some rain soon.
Yeah, I would not have brought it up, and I'm glad you mentioned it, because, of course, there's been all that hoopla in the news about Kearney will have its water turned off by July. And there's a lot of talk about things like that. And then, of course, you hear, well, they'll get the water from someplace. So is Kearney's problem going to impact us?
Not that I'm aware of as yet.
Good.
But yeah, because that allotment of water, I don't understand how you can allot somebody enough water when you don't know what your winters are going to be like. But
right. But
that's kind of the way the water conversations have been. And I haven't been in a whole lot of water conversations. I have you know, locally about wells and things of that nature. But like where the state is, you know, if we're going to get seasonal changing and water is going to become more scarce,
right,
then those are conversations that we're going to need to have more of. And, you know, trying to get involved with a lot of that water stuff at the county level, a lot of those things are in a state.
Sure.
You know, that's more of a state deal, not a county deal. Now, I wish, you know, that we would get more leeway in the county to help protect some of the private wells and things of that nature. But then also, too, you get a lot of the mine properties.
Right.
And that's not just where the mine is located, but they have properties.
Oh, yes.
You know,
vast
all
amount,
over the
yes.
place.
Yes.
And a lot of them aren't only for the mineral rights, but for the water rights as well.
Ooh.
So, you know, those are, you know, there's some properties that have capped wells on them. But like I say, that property is mine owned.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, they were thinking way ahead, I guess, a lot of other people. But yeah, that's going to be a major conversation. And, you know, like you say, you know, what frustrates me is, you know, you hear Kearney you see them on TV that they're going to shut their water. You know, you're out of water. You get no more water allotment.
Right.
But then you don't ever hear of anybody working with them or what is the state doing? What is the federal government? I mean, is Kearney going to have to put in for a grant to haul in drinking water? You know, you don't hear the other side of.
Absolutely. And where do they get it?
What's
you know?
Going on?
Much like
right.
what happened in north of Scottsdale. So at this point in time with Gila County, do we have a water emergency or are we relatively good?
Well, as far as I know, we're reasonably good. And a lot of the county locally is on city water.
Right.
And I talked to Paul Jepson here a while back, and he said, no, we're fine. We have, you know, lots of water.
Good.
And so I said, you know, good. Now, some of the other rural parts, I think there's question, you know, like, now that the bridge is in, Tonneau Basin is growing.
Right.
And they have a water department. Some of the other rural areas up around Payson, they have, you know, like rural water companies that are owned by, you know, a water company, and then they supply water to the people. And so I've had that come up at my meetings, you know, that I have in Gaisela and Tonneau Basin and Roosevelt. It's like, you know, what's the deal? I mean, you know, if they've only got so much water, you know, what's going to happen? And some people have private wells, and it's like, okay, what if these bigger wells go to pumping so much water that I can't get any water out of my well?
Yes.
And so, you know, those are questions that have been asked, and there's not a really, I haven't got any solid answers to that.
Yeah.
The only thing that I do know is if you are signed up with a water company, I think they are bound to serve you water, even if they have to haul it to you.
Well, great, because here in Southern Gila County, it's either the city like the City of Globe, or it's very often Arizona Water Company, which is, you know, not exactly
yes.
local. So if they're bound, that's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's kind of where I was, and the people on private wells, it's like, you know, I don't know, you know, if someone has a longer straw, has, you know, any, if there's any laws keeping them from pumping you dry, you know.
And right.
So I think there's a lot of litigation going on about that. I didn't read a lot of state legislation this year, but I think a lot of it is on water and can you transport water? You know, state to state kind of stuff, and things of that nature. You know, and some of the places on the reservations, you know, don't have water, so that's kind of a big push deal as well. So,
You know, it's interesting when you mentioned state to state, because, of course, with changes coming to the Colorado River allocations, that's a lot of talk. What surprises me is we don't see more of anyone pushing for desalination.
Right.
But obviously that's way above our pay grade here, but it would do my heart good to know somebody was working on that.
Yeah, it would. And you know, that's part of the reason that, you know, I pushed real hard, like with Tri-City, and God love them, they're breaking ground and getting ready to go.
Because
now, instead of all of that water just running in cesspools and septic leaches down into perhaps an aquifer, saying that they are, but it's possible, then all of that water can be treated, and it can be used for producing copper and for watering trees and for doing things of that nature to save some of that beautiful water that's in the earth for, you know, human consumption, and let's use this other water for some of our construction and things of that nature.
No, that's really good, and I'm glad you brought that up, because there are some people who think that, well, with water reclamation, they're going to be drinking the treated sewer water, and that's not true at all. And so,
Not yet, science goes forward.
Well, right. But at this point in time, it shouldn't be on anybody's worry list, but it would be. And I can understand why people think that, because it's very often not brought up very clearly that we're talking about, water for irrigation and those type of uses.
Yeah, right. Yeah, irrigation, where then it's filtered through everything.
Yeah.
And like I say, producing copper. You know, a lot of that is to leach or to cool. And so, you know, I mean, that would be great water to use for some of the mining industry.
Yes.
That's in our communities. And so, you know, that would be a good thing.
And Tri-City could sell that, making it more self-sufficient.
Exactly. That's part of the deal as well. You know, a lot of the hammer on it was that, you know, they're going to charge people to the point they can't afford to live in their home, and things of this nature. But that's not true, because basically anybody that's in their realm is already paying. If you look at your tax bill, Tri-City's already taking some tax money when you pay your tax bill.
Oh, right.
And so is the college, and so are some of the others.
And
so
speaking
of... already paying for them to operate and for them to pay back the loan.
Yeah.
Is there going to be a user's fee above that? Why, yes, there is. But is it going to be expensive to the point you can't live in your house? No, it's not. It's going to be, pretty much from what I understood is, average like around $50, $60. But... you know, that could change. You know, that's not a number that I have a guarantee to. But then if the more water becomes a shortage, the more their treatment plant is going to be worth.
Right.
So, you know, that'll help, you know, work out the mathematical problems. Because if you have a product that is getting worth more all the time, then it's not going to put you in jeopardy.
Right. No, and as we've talked so often, there's really no alternative to that. And I know people are afraid because they've seen some of the prices in Miami and all that. But the alternatives are nil. And if you're in a house and your cesspool fails, you're not in that house. So in terms of the long run, there's really no choice. But you mentioned about tax bills, and I think there's good news. So I've read that it looks like Gila Community College will be lowering what they're taking out of tax bills.
Well, if they do, it'll be good. Yeah, and you know, they either raise or lower as they see fit.
But, sure.
Yeah, that would be a good thing.
Yeah.
That they do.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody could use a tax break.
Yes.
But you know, the thing of it is what I'm proud of is the whole time I've been in the super, we haven't raised taxes. Everybody says, well, my taxes keep going up. What are you doing? And it's like, it's not the counties. Counties has not raised your taxes. But like the college did ask for an increase, you know, sometimes the fire departments, you know, they ask for an increase. You know, your different schools and things that are on your tax bill, they do. But the county itself has not raised property taxes. Now, 5 years ago, your house might have been worth $200,000, and now it's worth $250,000. So it's assessed higher than it was 5 years ago. But the amount per hundred has not gone up.
Yeah, and you know, that's interesting. Of course, California notoriously had to change the way they did taxes when the assessments kicked people out of their home 50 years ago almost. And so now the price you paid when you buy it is the amount rate that you're assessed on. And that's not affecting us in Gila County nearly as much as it is some parts of Maricopa County or Pima County. But at some point, I think the state needs to look at that, because especially with retirees and all that, if suddenly their house is worth $1 million and they, you know, they paid $20,000 for it, this isn't working.
Right. Yeah, and I think Maricopa did lower taxes because they thought that infrastructure would take over. Mm. You know, they get more infrastructure, so therefore they would get more money, so they didn't need more, you know, they lowered taxes, and I think that's biting us in the tail a little bit when it comes to budgeting for the state of Arizona, because like I say, you know, we need flood money, and they say, well, there's none in the budget. It's like, well, you guys cut your budget. I didn't.
Right.
You know,
no, that you're 100% right about that. The blowback could be serious. So, and you know,
I think we're seeing it.
And you mentioned infrastructure, and the first thing I think of is going back to water. There are so many entities that want to put these AI data centers around. Where's the water for that? So there's a lot of questions the state should have.
Oh yeah, no, I think, you know, once you put water as a commodity and start selling it, and you talk to some of these developments and stuff that have bought water for 100 years and they're storing it in Lake Mead. Well, I hope they're storing it in the bottom half, because there isn't any in the top half.
I was going to say, I've seen pictures. That's not good news at all.
Well, no, but we could guarantee 100 years of water. We already bought it. It's like, okay,
yeah.
Well, you better talk to the man that makes it rain and be sure he's going to take care of your IOU.
Oh, absolutely. I wouldn't see a Lake Mead storage point as really peace of mind. Not at this point.
Yeah.
Because other people have bought it too. So.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it kind of scared me if I thought my drinking water tomorrow was going to have to come out of Lake Mead. You know, gee whiz.
Yeah, exactly.
But, yeah. Yeah, I think locally for now, from what I've heard and, you know, talking to, I know a lot of the county is on City Globe or Arizona Water, and they seem to be pretty comfortable about water situations. Mm. And, you know, Resolution, you don't hear much about that anymore, but I went to the bottom of Resolution Mine, mile down. And it's extremely wet down there.
Oh yes.
And you know, they're actually pumping water to aquifers to save that water. You know, I mean, it's not just being wasted. They have aquifers where they are pumping some of that water as storage, which is, you know, was great news to me. But a lot of people don't know, because, you know, they don't. Say that a lot, or it hasn't been put out a lot, but I do know from when I did a tour there and went down, it's like,
right.
Yeah, there's a lot of, when you get a mile in the earth, it's really hot and there's a lot of water,
which is excellent news. Now, speaking of Resolution Copper, at first I heard really good news that everything was approved, it was final and go ahead, and then next I hear, no, there's another appeal. What's going on with Resolution Copper?
You know, they're fighting politics.
So,
you know, that's my opinion.
We still don't have
to
resolution.
Sit down with the bosses of the company and say, okay, guys, what's up? I haven't had that pleasure.
Yeah.
But you know, as they cross one hurdle, they use another.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that, you know, that they're not on some type of, you know, place where there were ceremonies and things done. I don't know that, but I never heard of it prior to resolution. You know.
Oh yes. As far as the, absolutely, and that's such a political situation. But what I was surprised was the first news I heard was that okay, it's final, it's a go, and then you turn out that final isn't final, and so then then you say to yourself, well, at what point it is final, final? You know, I can't imagine, because that's the part that, that surprised me, not getting into the merits of the people fighting it, but just I thought final meant final, and I guess it doesn't.
I don't know. I do know that they are, you know, moving forward. I believe that they've, you know, bought some property out at Dripping Springs area, because I think they're going to use some of that area out in Dripping Springs for a slurry, you know, after their process, they're going to pipe the slurry out, over by Dripping Springs.
Okay.
And that's more of Supervisor Klein's district, so I haven't got my nose into that business a whole lot, unless something comes in front of me on an agenda for me to look at. But I do have heard through the grapevine that yes, they are buying property and stuff there.
Okay.
You know, which there again, I would like to see the state come up with something about a tax rate for the mines that's fair to everyone, because God love the mines and God loves them, what they're doing for us and the world. But when they're able to be self-taxing, and I'm in a county where we have a lot of water running, because we go from 7,000 feet to 2,000 feet, and we have a flood district, but we don't have any money in it, because where do we get the money to put in it? Raise everybody's taxes to get, you know, some flood money to help protect us? You know, where I think if the assessment of some of the mine, and like I say, that, you know, they're buying property in Dripping Springs, but we're living on 3.5% of our tax base. So the more property that becomes owned by a reservation or mines or BLM or Forest Service, then that's property that we don't have the potential for growth, for to build houses, to build infrastructure on.
Now, you're saying that right now they're kind of self-taxing. What does that mean? There isn't a tax rate for the mines?
I think the taxing for the mines, they self-tax themselves.
How does that work?
They think they need to pay.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't in my opinion.
Well, right, but I mean, how, even on paper, self-taxing, is, we'd all like to sign up for that, I guess. How does that work? I've never heard of it.
Well, that's legislation. You know, when they say it takes an act of Congress, that's what happens.
Well, so self-taxing, you mean they can decide they're I don't understand that they're not in any way contributing. Obviously, they do. They do a lot of grants
they go through grants, and like I say, they do a lot for us.
Yes.
But on their property values, they're not taxed the same as you and I are.
Wow.
And is that fair? I don't think so.
All right.
But you know, that's neither here or there.
Yeah.
And then you fight them, and they say, well, okay, we'll quit giving you grants. Not that they would. They're good.
No,
they're good people. They
absolutely
work with us a lot.
Absolutely. It's just you know, in some ways we're talking in theory. I've just never heard of this concept. So at some point, hopefully, it'll be addressed.
Yeah, I would just like to take a look at it and understand it better.
Yeah.
You know, going forward, because, like I say, when you have boundaries on what you can do to develop, to have a little more income, to be able to do a little more for the people that you serve, and you can't, because, like I say, it may get to the point that have to trade some land to the Forest Service for Forest Service land to build something.
Okay.
And so I would just like to see us have a little more infrastructure.
Oh, absolutely. Well, for our future, we, you know, and that's why we so support TRSD and everything else. We have to have that infrastructure if we're going to see any growth in the future at all.
Sure. And I, you know, I think, well, I'm hopeful that TRSD, you know, phase one, once they get rolling there, I hope to see investors that have invested. Because, see, there's been investors that have bought some of these tax lien properties because people have moved out because they have failed cesspools and they can't live there anymore. So, you know, a lot of those have been bought up by tax lien people, because when they move out, they quit paying their taxes. It's like, and so some of these tax lien sales, and so hopefully we'll start seeing some of those properties get sold and get developed. You know, I'm really hoping to see that here in the near future.
Right. Well, good. Anything else?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of things going on. We've got some things coming up on our agenda soon. And so we'll just see how all of that comes out. And like I say, we've got some construction work going on in the creeks and things. So we're working on that. We've got a lot of feelers out for funding through the state and fed, so hopefully that gets rolling pretty soon. And so I will keep you informed. And Raleigh, I thank you very much for giving me a call.
Oh, absolutely, and I thank you for the time. It's good information. I look forward to talking to you next month. Now let me check on the calendar so we can get all that together. I believe our next meeting is on Monday, June 15th, so we'll talk beforehand.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. Tim Humphrey, District 2 Supervisor, Gila County. Monster Hits for Hits.